Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Nečas says the government will suspend ratification of the anti-counterfeiting trade agreement while it analyzes the issue. Hackers protesting the agreement have published the personal information of thousands of members of the Civic Democratic Party. And Education Minister Josef Dobeš says he has received no information that the Czech Republic would have EU education grants revoked. Prime Minister Petr Nečas says the government will suspend ratification of the anti-counterfeiting trade agreement. Responding to a wave of protests in the Czech Republic and elsewhere, the Prime Minister said that the government would not allow a situation where civic freedoms and free access to information would be threatened, and added that the government will analyze the issue and its potential impact on daily life. In recent days, internet activists have blocked the websites of the Czech government, the Copyright Protection Association, and the Chamber of Deputies to protest the agreement. The aim of ACTA, which the Czech Republic joined in January, is to combat the spread of counterfeit goods and internet piracy. It must still be ratified by the Czech Parliament in order to take effect. Hackers using the moniker Anonymous published the personal information of thousands of members of the Civic Democratic Party on Monday to protest the party's support for ACTA. A list including the names and addresses of nearly 30,000 members was sent to media outlets, along with a message for Czech politicians to reject the agreement. Hackers attacked the Civic Democrat homepage last Thursday and were incensed by the party's spokesman having said it was a good advertisement. The new attack asks how the party can be capable of running the country when it is unable to secure its own IT system. Mr. Nečas also told reporters on Monday that he expects a series of coalition meetings regarding a compromise on the EU budget pact, and said there would be no dramatic result from his meeting with Karl Schwarzenberg on Tuesday. The two party heads have been sharply at odds in recent weeks over the PM's resistance to the agreement, which is aimed at establishing tighter fiscal discipline across the EU and was signed by all member states except the Czech Republic and the UK. Mr. Schwarzenberg strongly rejected the Prime Minister's statement that the pact is not in the Czech Republic's interests and has previously said he would not be part of any government that moved the country away from the EU mainstream. Education Minister Josef Dobeš says he has received no information that the Czech Republic will have EU education grants revoked. Speaking at a press conference on Monday to address the issue, Mr. Dobeš repeated a pledge to resign if the problems with the subsidies are not resolved. Last week, the press reported that the European Commission had threatened to halt all further subsidies to the Education Ministry due to a lack of transportation and mistakes in public orders, effectively barring the ministry from drawing on 53 billion crowns. The Education Minister argues that the mistakes were made before he took office and has promised to fix the situation by the end of March. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be clear and sunny with daytime highs of around minus 10 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, and my name is Sarah Borůvka. Coming up in today's program, protests against the International Copyright Agreement, ACTA, are spreading in the Czech Republic. We have all the latest sports news for you, including Petra Kvitová and her fierce fight in the Fed Cup. And later on in the program, we bring you a conversation with Dana Hradecká, who was one of the founders of the Botanical Stores. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The signature of ACTA, short for Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreement, by 22 EU member states has sparked a heated controversy and widespread protests across Europe. In the Czech Republic, hundreds of internet users took to the streets in Prague and other cities, while hackers associated with the group Anonymous have attacked websites of the government, political parties, and copyrights holders' associations. In neighboring Poland, the of a ratification of the agreement was even put on ice after widespread protests and attacks on government websites. The controversial agreement aims to protect intellectual property on the internet, but many fear it will lead to online surveillance and internet censorship. I spoke to new media and technology journalist Petr Kocsi about ACTA and how it is perceived here in the Czech Republic.
Well, I think the main point of criticism concentrates on the way it was negotiated, because the negotiations actually started as early as 2006. And the first time the internet public learned about such agreement, about this agreement that can have such a great impact on the way we use internet every day, was 2 or 3 years later, after several rounds of these negotiations. And it was only thanks to leaked document on the WikiLeaks website. So the critics mainly point to the fact that it's quite problematic to negotiate new rules that will greatly affect internet without participation of internet users and under suspected heavy influence of recording industry lobbyists.
And what exactly will, how will internet users be affected if ACTA is passed, or what things will change for the average internet user?
We can't be really sure about this now, because this is an international agreement and it depends on how the governments will adopt it into their law. And for example, in the case of Czech Republic, the trade minister, or the former trade minister Martin Kocourek, when he announced that the ACTA negotiations are finished, said that there will be no single change in the Czech law coming from the signature of this agreement. But the agreement is quite vaguely and unclearly formulated, and it opens possibilities towards changes. So, for example, in the agreement, the governments promise that they will make it possible for the owners of the copyrighted material to access data about users who attempt to download it illegally from the internet. That is a major change, because up until now they had to wait for a court decision to get this data, and even then it was not given to the companies, to the owners of the rights, but only to the police or to the investigators. And now it should be shared with the investigators and with the copyright owners before a court decision. That is a major change.
That does sound like quite the big change, actually. The Czech Republic signed ACTA without much public debate, and now protests here are spreading. How would you say, how opposed are Czech people against ACTA compared to other Europeans?
I would say that the matter is so complicated that many people decide emotionally without actually reading the agreement, and there is not enough law experts and even people from the government explaining what exactly it might mean for the average internet user. So I would say the large majority of internet users are instinctively against ACTA, because it is a new rule that seems to be threatening the internet freedom. And from this feeling come all these protests that are maybe, or they appear larger in the media than they are in the reality.
Petr Kocsi, an expert on new media and technology, was talking to me about the ACTA, the anti-counterfeiting trade agreement, and it'll be interesting to see how this story develops, of course. We'll keep an eye on that for you. Now, Jan Wellinger brings you all the latest sports news.
And we begin first with those tennis results. Petra Kvitová advanced the Czech women's team into the semifinal of the Fed Cup, but it sure wasn't easy for the world number two. On Saturday, the player faced Germany's Julia Gerges in the quarterfinal in Stuttgart and was pushed, it has to be said, to the very limit. She lost the first set 3-6. But Kvitová came back to win the second 6-2, and the final went down the wire, a tiebreaker that the player edged by a score of 10-8. After the match, here's what Kvitová had to say.
It was really little difference between us, and I had a lot of chances, and then I have a break, and unfortunately it was a break again, so it wasn't really easy to be still focused in the head, because you knew that I had some chances, and it's not easy to continue the game. And the people who are here and support us all the time, it's very nice, and you know that's they are support you, and you know that you can't give up.
Well, a day later, Kvitova didn't give up, but she had to dig deep again in still another three-set matchup, this time against Sabine Lisitsky. Kvitova was able to recover after again losing the first set, this time in a tiebreak, but took the next two. The final score was 6-7, 6-4, 6-1. Kvitova now has a 27-match winning streak indoors, and the Fed Cup defending champions won by an overall score in Germany of 4-1. The team will face Italy next in the semifinals. That's in April, around the 21st and the 22nd. Turning to football, a preliminary match in Spain between Czech top-flight football club Sparta Prague and Switzerland's Bellinzona ended after just half an hour at the weekend after an incident between Cameroonian national Leonard Queque, who plays for Sparta, and Czech player Pavel Pergel, who used to play for the same team. The match saw a tussle between the two players, with Queque accusing Pergel of having made racist remarks. Luckily, it didn't come to blows, as both were split up by players and staff from both teams, Mladá Frontadnes reported. Pergel admitted he cursed the other player but said there was no racist context. That, however, was disputed by Sparta's general manager, Jaroslav Žebík, as well as team captain Marek Makejewski, who were reportedly closest to the incident. The match and a follow-up in the afternoon were both called off. Meanwhile, the Swiss club accused Sparta of unsportsmanlike play on its website, saying one of their strikers, had been fouled 13 times during the truncated game. Turning to hockey and overseas in the National Hockey Leagues, Czech center forward Tomáš Plekanec earned one assist and scored the final goal for the Montreal Canadiens against fellow Canadian club, the Winnipeg Jets. Plekanec, who has 36 points in 53 games this season, 11 goals, 25 assists, beat goalie Ondřej Pavelec from the point. And for a moment, it appeared that Scott Gomez, who has not scored since last season and has had a major dry streak, had gotten his stick on it. But the video replay showed the goal was indeed Plekanec's. The Canadiens won 3-2-0. And in the Czech domestic hockey league, Moravian club Kometa Brno has a chance for the first time since re-entering the top flight of reaching the playoffs through a round robin. The club demolished Vítkovice by a score of 8-2 and is currently in 10th place. That's 7 points better than Karlovy Vary. 5 rounds remain in the regular season, meaning in all likelihood Slavia, in last place in the league, no longer has a shot. Slavia lost to Kladno 3-2 in their last game. And that's all the sport for today.
The sports news this week was brought to you by Jan Wellinger. Thank you for that, Jan. And now in our program One-on-One, Chris Johnstone talks to Dana Hradecka, co-founder of the successful Botanicus chain of stores.
The Botanicus chain of stores offering herbal soaps, extracts and delicacies is a Czech and growing international success story. Most tourists will probably have bought something from one of their outlets. The small business was founded in the early 1990s after the restitution of a family farm around 40 kilometres northeast of Prague. That has become the centre for the business and a tourist attraction with more than 50,000 visitors a year. I met up with one of the firm's co-founders, Dana Hradecka, at the farm where it all began and asked her about the roots of the original inspiration for the business.
After university, I was working for a year in the company which was dealing actually with seeds and plants, and I was speaking German that time, and we were working with Dutch company. And I always wanted to go away after the revolution. I wanted to improve my language, and basically completely pure luck and coincidence was when I met someone who was from England, and it was an engineer who was doing the machinery for our company. at one meeting, which was translated, he said, my colleague in Cambridge is looking for someone for the botanic or physic garden, working with plants and extracts and teas, etc., etc. And I said, wow, that's wonderful. That's a dream, but it has got one problem. I don't speak any English. I said, oh, you know, he speaks German, so, you know, you can work there. It has got one condition, you have to leave within a week. Funnily enough, again, I think 2 weeks ago, I found a little nearly yellowish paper with a typewriter writing, and there were words, important words to learn on the bus while you're going to England. And I really, when I read it, the most important word, the White Cliffs of Dover. So, as I got off the bus when we were meeting Dr. Stewart in London, I sort of opened the door, and in my complete, I would say, you know, sort of lovely feeling of being in UK and happiness and having full head of these English words, I mixed it up everything and I said, goodbye, I'm Dana. So I always laugh and I think about that, because that was my first introduction to England.
And in England, how much did you learn about sort of processing plants and working with them, extracts? Was that all new to you?
I did learn the stuff there, yes, but England gave me more than that. England gave me the feeling of looking after yourself, learning, doing things different way, thinking different way, and respecting people, but also the education in different form. And that was most important, because in Czech that time was like, do the university, be whatever you are and start a job. And for me, this was like opening the door and completely changing my life from that sort of narrow way.
So you'd been in England a year and then you came back to the Czech Republic. How did you start the business then?
Basically, by the time when I was in UK, my husband was restoring the farm here in sort of slow steps. And when, I think it was after I finished in UK, Dr. Stewart came over and we talked about it many times, that what I want to do and what I want to do with the farm. And we sort of started business then all together with John and with Malcolm as a small business, doing herbs and potpourries and candles from beeswax, and that sort of more of a, we were delivering stuff, and we were, I remember John going with the rucksack and selling the plants and the herbs in the shops in Prague, and slowly we were selling in, I would think, 1,000 outlets around Czech, Moravia and Slovak, but we always wanted to have our own shop. And couple of years later, we start farm shop in this place, when everybody felt this is not the way, it will not work. But it slowly developed and people became to know the products, and we grew from growing just the herbs and doing the teas. We start making oils and vinegars and soaps and different produce from the garden. And then in 1999, we started and this place where we sitting now was not only the farm shop and little herb garden, but also we were having different events for children.
At first, was the most of the demand for your products, was it from sort of tourists in Prague, or was it a mix of tourists and Czech people?
It is a mixture of people. Our products had, to start with, I would say, was more tourist. Then Czech people became sort of knowing our products. And there is a certain group of people who like the products, because it has got specific design, but also it has got the natural feel. And there is certain type of women and men who like that sort of things.
You've expanded now to China, Russia. You have outlets. How much is the Czech Republic still important, and how much is the business developed abroad?
Basically, about the business, so in China and abroad, it is important piece to the business, yes. But still, we try to sort of balance the Czech side and the export in the sense of not to expand either too fast or too far. And we probably not going to be big international business, because this business has been developed and it is going as, and it has got its base here. One more most important things which I learned from my husband Jan is sometimes to learn to say no. Even it might sound sometimes arrogant, which is not, I don't think I'm an arrogant person, but it is your sort of survival instinct.
You developed a concept that I think is more broadly ecological now. You're developing some strains of plants, trees, which maybe are threatened. Can you talk a bit more about that? What you're doing there?
The idea of gardens is literally we growing on now 32 hectares of organic site or gardens which are ecological. The gardens are basically not being sprayed or chemically treated. The gardens are actually complex of leisure gardens, educational gardens, growing gardens. We are located in the area of, we call it Golden Pass of River Elbe, traditionally, where there was a sort of, here is agriculture area. There is alluvial soil, and the idea is to basically from one huge, in olden days, socialist field, it's going back to the, in Czech describe, katastrální mapy, which is the old map of register. So literally each field belonged to somebody in the past. And we basically, on the border of the each field, there is sort of natural fence or natural growing area of hedges and hedge grows. And each garden has got certain theme, one of which is the orchard. The orchard is basically a mixture of pears, apples, plums, cherries, which are old varieties, and it was done together with the research institute in Holovousy, where they kept genobank for the old variety of these trees.
That was Botanicus co-founder Dana Hradecka there talking to Chris Johnstone. This edition of One on One was first broadcast in June 2010. Now we will round off our regular weekday program with ABC, our Czech language learning program brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome again to the ABC of Czech. This time it's the letter T, which brings us to the topic of transport. Today we start with a quote from our listener, Kelvin Ruisdal from Norway. Kelvin has sent us this email.
Some years ago I visited Prague. I stayed near Holešovice metro station. One of my best memories from that tour was the announcement of the stations of the metro of Prague by the conductors.
Kelvin from Norway is not the only one who is intrigued by the announcements in Prague metro. Nádraží Holešovice is one of the metro stations,
stanice metra,
and so we could record the announcements for our program. Let's listen to the most frequent one.
Ukončete prosím výstup a nástup, dveře se zavírají. Příští stanice muzeum.
Before the doors close, a recorded voice announces, please stop getting off and on, the doors are closing, and the name of the next station follows. The voice will also announce the terminus. For a few years now, other means of public transport in Prague, that is trams,
tramvaje,
and buses,
autobusy,
have been playing recordings with names of their stops too. Special trains,
Vlaky,
also run between Prague's railway stations and help the congested city centre. And that's all for today. Tune in again next if you can for some more means of transport, but now watch out, the doors are closing.
Příští stanice IB Pavlova.
Vlak končí jízdu ve stanici Pražského povstání.
And I'm afraid that brings us to the end of our program today. But please tell us if you've got any thoughts on what you've heard on the show. The postal address here is Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. The address for emails is english@radio.cz. And of course, Radio Prague also has an online presence. We are on Twitter, on Facebook, and you can visit our website at radio.cz. There you will find a huge archive of reports and features in both text and audio form. You can also sign up for a free news email and use our podcasting, so make sure to find us on the internet. We'll talk to you again soon, but until then, from me, Sarah Borufka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and bye-bye.